Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time together, joyous time of singing such wonderful songs and such messages that you have brought to us today to bring to yourself, Lord, because you are worthy of them. And we just pray, Lord, that you continue to speak to us and lift our hearts and keep them joyous. And even when you're speaking to us about things that you want us to think about, Lord, we really pray, Lord, that you'd give us hearts that are open and filled with joy, for you are a great God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture today is from Mark 10, 17 to 22, where a young man goes and he kneels before Jesus. This young guy comes before Jesus and he kneels down before him and he asks a very important question. He says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" It's a great question. Has anyone asked you things like this in your life? I mean, I know a lot of things go on in our lives that we don't share with each other very often, but perhaps someone has. You know, you never know. There's a lot of things going on in people's minds. And this young man goes to Jesus and asks him that, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus deflects to God. Actually, it's interesting. Very interesting comment by Jesus first about God. But then he says, after that, you know the commandments. And he lists all the commandments from the Ten Commandments would really have to do with relationships. The relationship to God and neighbor. The young man says, we can take a look at those first. He says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. He gives them these commandments, and he said, you know these are the commandments you should pay attention to. And the young man says, I've kept them all since my youth. And we don't know how they spoke to one another, but Jesus responds to him in love, it says. And I think that we can have a little bit of an idea of what's going on here based on the fact that the man knelt before Jesus. And so he was very sincere when he asked him this question, and he went to him. And Jesus gave him honest answers. And here it says he responds to him in love when he heard that the man said, I've kept them all since my youth. And Jesus says, one thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have. Give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Come and take up the cross and follow me. And the young man was sad, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. The title of my sermon today is, What's in Your Wallet? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. What's in your wallet? For you, for those of you who don't know, it's an ad, and I'm not here to try to get you to buy from this bank that is selling this, but it's their logo that they're trying to get business with, and they have a lot of very funny commercials on television to get your attention. And basically, this bank says, What's in Your Wallet? Because they want you to have a credit card from their bank. And they want you to have the power that their card gives you to be able to get the things that you want that other banks may not be able to offer. At least I think that's what they're trying to say. And I thought it would be a good thing today to ask their question of ourselves. What's in our wallets? Is there something that we own or someone in our lives who is more important than eternal life? Is there something or someone that is holding us back from following Jesus? A professor of mine told a true story about his life last week. His wife came down with a life-threatening disease a number of years ago, and he said she was basically skin and bones. He said, if you've seen someone who was starving to death or was in one of the concentration camps that described what his wife looked like. He said he finally broke down in his office one day, and he cried out to God. And he told God how much he loved his wife, and wasn't there something God could do to save her? And then he said to us this, "I prayed, but Lord, I know she is yours and not mine." And he told God he was willing to part with her if it was God's will. And he started to cry, and he told us that he couldn't stand to think about that time again. Well, God's answer to my professor's prayer was to restore his wife to health, and she teaches at our school, and she is a Christian counselor full-time. But that was very, very painful and very, very close, and that was in his wallet. That was in his wallet. You see, there are things that are in our wallets that we carry around with us that mean a lot to us. And I think that God is asking us today to consider what those things are and to ask ourselves the question, what does he mean to us? Jesus asked all of his disciples to take up the cross and follow him. He didn't ask the young man to do something he hadn't asked from all the other disciples, really. Sometimes we think that this man represents all of the wealthy and all the people that have something to hold back from God, but that's not really my intention today to talk about that aspect of it, although that can be, maybe that could be something that God is speaking to you about. But they were to give up their ties to this world. He asked all of the disciples to follow him, to take up their cross and follow him. And each one of them had something to leave behind. In the end, their gain was eternal life. So what does eternal life mean to us? What does it mean to you? That's really a question for you to consider today. Think about how free we can be when we give all away that we possess. Did you ever think about that? How sometimes the things that we own and the things that we hold as so important really, really enslave us? You know, and then suddenly when you let go of it, the feeling is one of relief and of, "Whew, I feel much better now about that." Did you ever carry around something that you were upset about or that was heavy on your heart and it was driving you to act in a way that was unpleasant, or it drove you to feel in a certain way badly towards someone, or perhaps it was something else that was just bugging you, or perhaps a worry on your mind about something that you had coming up, and you're thinking, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about this? And it gets so bad that sometimes you can't even think in a normal way, because you're not able to study, you're not able to work, you're not able to sleep. You can't do anything because these things are hemming you in and are bugging you and making you feel bad about them. But we're really not willing to give up control. We hold on to those things and we think, you know, it's not time yet. But if you ever had the experience of letting that go, then you know that your body, even a physicality, is involved in the whole thing. You start to feel like, right? It's a physical affliction as well as a spiritual and a one that is attacking our minds. It takes over our life. I've had a lot of those. Our possessions, either people or things, have a hold on us. Jesus said this in chapter 8 of John. He said, "If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I have a couple of thoughts that I wrote down about this whole section of Scripture with the young man, the young ruler, who came and asked Jesus what he needed to do with his life. The first thing I've already mentioned was that Jesus doesn't ask of him any more than he asks of anyone else. And the second thing that I wrote down was, when we free ourselves from wealth and things that hold us, there is a greater freedom to us in Christ. We are free of worry about sin. Now, I had to think about whether I was going to say that or not, but I think I'm okay with saying that. Because that's really the intention here. If you are completely giving yourself over to Christ, then you don't have to worry about sin anymore. You have given yourself to Christ. And there is worry involved in sin. It causes us to have anxiety and worry. And it really kills things. It destroys relationships. First of all, between us and God, right? It destroys relationships. It makes things come to a stop. It makes people stutter and feel very uncomfortable. I'm the kind of person who is totally affected by the way people feel about me, and it affected me a lot in my life. But you may relate to that. If you're feeling that there's some kind of attention, or someone is upset with you, or someone is not right with you, it shuts you down. You're not as effective. And that's not what God wants us to be like. He doesn't want us to feel like, oh, I better not make a false move here for fear that someone is going to do something to me. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be able to not only be free, but to flourish in this world, to be able to give our best. You guys who make music, or if you're an artist or things like that, people, if you're free to express yourself, there's a great freedom in that. But a lot of times people tell you, no, you have to do this. You have to make this line straight. You have to do a circle. It has to be more clean, you know, things like that. I remember my father used to go crazy with artists and people that told people how they should draw. And he would just say, do what you want. Draw what you feel. Draw what you want. Draw the circle. If it's this way and you say it's a circle, then it's a circle. Goes against the grain, but it's creative and it frees you up and it makes you feel like, okay, I can express myself in that way. The last thing that I wrote here was that we're free of worry of what we could lose by giving it up. We're free of the worry of what we could lose by giving things up. This young man may not have known it, but if he had done what Jesus said to him, and he gave up all of those things, he would learn the lessons that would help him to know what is important in life, the most important thing in life. And that would be that Jesus is going to make us rich in ways that we could never imagine. He would have more wealth than he ever could imagine if he had given all of his wealth, his worldly and his earthly wealth, up and followed Jesus. Well, to end today, it's a short one. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I've reached the end. But I have a hard task for you to do, and I hope that you'll take it seriously. To be able to learn a little bit about what Jesus is asking us to do, and perhaps to learn some things that God has to say to you about what you're holding on to in your life and what's in your wallet, I would like to ask you today to fast for 7 days from today, starting today or tomorrow, from something that you enjoy doing, or from something that you enjoy eating, or something that you enjoy drinking every day. And the idea for this is for you to be able to possibly stumble upon something you're addicted to, something that you have held too importantly in your life, and that is keeping from you from being effective in your life. And so I'd like for you, all of us as a congregation, to consider fasting 7 days. Something you enjoy doing. I don't want to bring this up in a very light way and to make anybody feel bad, but I've talked with a lot of children lately, and it seems that they're spending many, many hours every day playing violent video games, right? So maybe a video game is something that you need to be away from. At the risk of sounding old to you, I am really, really concerned that there are people spending so much time on these video games trying to kill each other. And you become almost numb to the idea of what it is that you're doing. Now that's just one example, okay? I'm not going to say that to say that you just can't do that anymore. I really don't mean that. What I'm trying to say is that there are some things that I've heard that stand out in my mind, and that's one of the examples. Television, sports, something that you eat or drink every day that you feel that you can't get by your day without, that becomes so important. But choose something that is going to really hurt when you don't have it. And don't give up after one day. And I really feel that we should pray about this so that we can have this in mind. God shows each one of us in these times when we're fasting from something and we're not eating it or drinking it or having it in our lives, or it could be something going on in our lives that we're not going to have each day for 7 days. God will show us what we need to do and learn from that. And so the question for you today is, what's in your wallet? What's in your wallet? What is God talking to you about in your life? And I want to emphasize, just in closing, this verse again that Jesus said. You know the grace of our Lord, that Paul said about Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Let us pray. Lord, we have a challenge today to consider you and what you mean to us, and to know that there is treasure in heaven. I pray, Father, that you would be with us as a church, that you would help us as individuals and as a church to think, and to think in a way, Lord, that is going to be in love, to consider something that we may be holding back and holding on to, Lord, that is keeping us from experiencing the things that you desire for us. And I thank you, Lord, that Jesus became poor for us. I thank you that he showed us the way, that his example goes before us, so that we can't say this is too hard, or how could God expect this from us, Lord. But I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts and really help us in this time to grow, and that there would be flourishing coming from this in ways that are indescribable, and great riches and wealth will come from this that will be life-changing and transforming, so that we can know you better and serve you more effectively in your kingdom. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.